Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
We'll tell you all about the Hall of Fame next week. But first, ladies and gentlemen, today's guest featured in the New York Comedy Festival, Cinder Block Comedy Festival, co-host of the excellent podcast, The Hot Mess Comedy Hour, Emily Lubin.
Hey, yo. Wow, I'm a star.
How you doing, apparently. Emily?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am well. It's always good to see you.
Good to see you guys.
You're a ball of energy, a ray of sunshine.
Oh, thank you. I'm happy to be on because I have been keeping up with the show.
Yeah?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I missed the last one, but I heard the one with Spooky, and I was fangirling out hard, so hard.
When were you introduced to Spooky? Like, how old were you?
15, because 2005, right?
Oh, wow.
15, yeah.
Wow.
Should we have put a warning on our show? Is 15 too young?
Probably. I mean, I feel like there was an explicit warning, but do you mean another one? Like,
I don't
how
know.
TV has like TV 14 and stuff like that?
Maybe. Andrea was 14. Is that too young or the right age?
I feel like Andrea was a little bit older, like 17.
Well, she doesn't know.
Oh. Well, I feel like, yeah, there should be like an ass crack rating or something. Like a certain amount of ass cracks for how crass the show is.
See,
would be helpful.
I feel like as a 14-year-old, if you're not at least like introduced to some crassness and, you know, this kind of shit, you're too, I don't know.
Sheltered?
You're way too sheltered.
I mean, I turned out fine, I think. I mean, I don't know, actually.
We'll find out. But
yeah, I'm not the best case study, probably. I don't feel like what you listen to determines like if you're going to be a serial killer or something.
Were you jealous of Andrea? She got to be in the room with Spooky.
I was a little jealous. Yeah. She got to be on mic too.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I was a little jealous, but I do feel like you don't want to meet your heroes.
Right.
So that's the only thing. Like I think maybe keeping the illusion alive of Spooky.
That's true.
It's a good move for me.
It's true because we met him and then I didn't want to talk to him for 10 years. And then now I'm okay for a little bit. So you
for
were
another
right.
10 years.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see.
What is so attractive to Spooky?
He's just like a wild child. I don't know. He's just like, he always struck me as just like a wild free spirit that like I wouldn't think would, especially like as a younger person, I didn't think those types of people existed because
right.
I grew up in a like very, not a straight-laced part of the world, but just like there weren't weirdos like there were in this right. universe.
For me, too, he's special because he's an obvious redneck with some like intellectual aspects to him with a lot of ignorance. And then also
a ton of ignorance.
And his physique is on fucking point. So
yeah man, I like hot people, so
that's your jam.
Yeah, that's pretty much that's like what I'm into.
He's 40 years old looking like that.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah.
When I'm 40, I'm probably gonna look like a potato.
I'm 42. I still hope to look like that at some point.
Like him?
Yes, like
yeah,
him.
It'd be pretty dope.
If my pecs could look like that.
How much, like how many hours do you think he works out a day?
Well, he's an artist, but he decided to be a lumberjack because he's got
right.
all this energy. So he just puts physical things into his life. And he also runs. He's just a very energetic, active person. Yeah.
Ugh, I hate people like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
People who are like passionate about fitness. They annoy me so much.
I don't know if I would quote him ever saying something like passionate about fitness.
No, but you know, like I just have a lot of energy. I just need to expel energy. I'm like, where are you getting this energy?
You were just at the beach. You like to go out, get things done.
I do. Yeah, I do.
Is this you with a tan?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay, is that obnoxious to say?
No, it's fine. I don't really, yeah, I don't get dark. I don't get tan. But yeah, this is pretty much like the other day my sister was like, are you wearing a fake tan? And I was like, no.
Oh, wow.
Do I have a real tan? But it's like really just a darker peach. It's like a bruised peach.
Now your hair is dyed red?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you notice the difference between blonde, white, brunette, red? Do you get treated different?
Yeah, absolutely. In ways that I didn't suspect, men are super horny for this hair color.
Wow, the red one?
The red one. Yeah, it's insane. It is absolutely insane. I get more attention than I've ever gotten, and I'm uncomfortable with it. I'm not into getting a lot of male attention right now. So I like wish that it would go away, but I like the color too. But yeah, way more than I got as a blonde. Way more, I mean, definitely way more as a brunette. Brunette, you kind of just like blend in with everything.
But. Is it different attention from blonde to redhead?
It's aggressive and sexual. It's like, I think because...
What do you think it screams? That you're wild or that you're depressed?
I think...
it's so telling when Keith asks the question.
I mean, my depression, I know, is super hot.
You know, no, it's like, I wonder what's her deal? Does she ride two motorcycles or is she broken?
Yeah, I think it's kind of like... I think it's a little fetishy. I think it's like Jessica Rabbit. I think it's like a little more cartoony than the others. Blonde is a little more eye-catching and a little bit more like people assume you're a bimbo sometimes. So you definitely get more attention because your eyes are just drawn to blonde more than anything else. But red, I think, is a very specific kind of like people think you get nasty.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody in my neighborhood, this guy told me his social security number the other night, like in an effort to hook up with me.
Holy shit. Did you write it down?
I wanted to, but I didn't have a pen and paper. I was like, can you repeat that?
This guy sounds really dumb. It's like, no, those aren't the numbers women want.
Right, exactly. I think he was trying to show that he was serious. Like we could go somewhere or something.
I am as serious as you stealing my identity.
Exactly. Right. He trusted me with his identity. But, you know, in my neighborhood,
Can you sleep with such a moron? Like, are you like, well, you're a moron, but you're hot?
Oh no, I didn't sleep with him.
I'm saying if he was attractive, would you be like...
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Somebody who's attractive and dumb enough to give me all their personal information, yeah, that's fun. Definitely would. No, it's the men in my neighborhood, I live way balls deep in Brooklyn, and they'll talk to you, but I don't... really consider it catcalling. Like they'll say good morning and it's rooted in misogyny, but it's never like too aggressive. So this particular man, and they're usually like a little bit older,
so you're saying
50s, 60s.
It's not too aggressive, but they would never say good morning to me.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely, the reasoning behind it is not completely pure, but they don't think they're doing any, I think they just think they're being polite.
I have construction guys, there's construction everywhere around where I live. And I ride my bike and people say hello and they nod and I just nod back because I'm like, well, I'm just going to take it like it's a neighborhood thing like you're saying.
Yeah.
But the other day, so the construction guys, they can stop traffic, of course. So I'm like, they're stopping traffic, but I'm like, this is fake and I just want to blow right through it, but I don't want to be dangerous. But they let the bike right in front of me go and they stopped me very oddly. And I was like, this is going to be a thing. Right. And it was. And I just kept my earphones on because I don't even want to hear the stupidity that they have constructed in how clever they think they are. That like, they all look at, like they stop me with their stupid stop sign. And then I'm like, let's get this over with.
Really?
Yeah. Let's get this over with. And they're looking at each other like they're school kids.
Yeah. Who's going to say the line? Babe, yeah. You stop traffic.
Right. And then they all kind of like backed out. They were just so impressed with themselves about like, we stopped her. Whoa. Right. And I was like, all right, guys. And I just said hello to everyone and then just left.
I think they're the first one to have thought of that. Construction workers have been doing that since the beginning of time, probably.
But it's so nice because when you're
on your... That's like hack for a construction worker. You know what I mean?
But when you're on your bike, you don't want to stop because the momentum, like I don't even stop at red lights. I mean, I stop, but I like circle, you know, safely so that I don't have to stop the bike and keep going. And so I'm like, all right, everyone got a thrill. I'm going to work. Thanks, guys.
Wait, you don't want to stop the bike to humor the construction workers? That's not something that you want to do?
And the thing is you can't get mad. Because what are you getting mad at? Because no one's being an asshole to you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're actually being friendly, but it's like Keith said, like, would you stop a big fucking dude and then just like look at each other like schoolgirls?
Right. Yeah. And I mean, the whole thing like makes me really paranoid. And even when people are being nice, I think that they have bad feelings towards me or something. Like I was walking home late at night the other night and these two dudes were sitting out on their front stoop, and I walk by and they start shouting at me, and I'm down a block and they're still shouting at me. And I go another block, I can still hear them.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm like, fuck you guys. And then I walk all the way home and I go inside and I take off my backpack. My backpack is wide open. They were just trying to warn me that all my stuff was going to fall out of my backpack. They were being nice. And then suddenly I was like, oh, I'm the asshole. I thought I was such hot shit walking down the street and they were shouting at me from a mile away. No, they were just being good Samaritans.
It's a shame that women can't be told now if they drop something.
Yeah. I still think there's a way. Like, if it was women, I feel like you'd realize what they're trying to say, because women wouldn't just keep shouting at you.
Right.
They would gently walk by you. And even though I am a woman and I would be walking up to a woman, I would walk separate from her. You know, I'd make sure there's distance so I'm not like scaring her. I mean, there's so many ways that you can respond.
You could throw a rock at her. There are lots of ways to get a woman's attention.
I'd call ahead to one of my buddies at the next block. Have them be ready for you.
Yeah, you'd have a whole neighborhood watch.
Yeah. So you're at the beach and you invited an old friend, an old flame.
An old flame, yeah.
Now, you knew ahead of time that you were hoping this would go somewhere again.
It's not like I was hoping, but I was open to the possibility. This is someone that I dated like 5 years ago.
Okay.
And we still keep in touch and we're friends. And we also hook up like once every 4 to 6 months, maybe.
Okay. And is it due now? Is it time?
About time. But you know, like we'll talk every now and then. It's like, honestly, it's the perfect relationship. It's just very low key, casual. But I invited him to the beach and he said, yeah, totally, let's go to the beach. And then we're on the way to the beach and he tells me that he has to be back by 6 o'clock so he could play in a recreational softball game. And I'm like, okay, so I guess we're just going to the beach now.
That's not a euphemism?
The softball game? Well, normally it would be, but he had a gym bag with him full of equipment. And not the right kind of equipment, by the way. And yeah, so it was fine, but I was a little surprised. I was like, oh, okay, you just want to hang out at the beach for a day. That's cool. That's cool, bro. I wonder, like, I wonder what the next hangout will be. Like, I wonder if, because he'll text me sometimes and just be like, do you want to come over? And I'm like, no. Because it's usually at like 2 o'clock in the, like, it's in the witching hour or whatever. And, he lives all the way uptown, and I say no. So this was my plan. Not a plan, but it was like, in my mind, we were going to go to the beach. We were going to have like a fun, sexy, good time.
Right.
And then we would go back to one of our apartments and bone. And we did all that, minus the boning.
Mm.
So.
Oh, like there's touching and things like that?
We were like making out a little bit, yeah.
Okay.
I feel like that leaves the window open.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And the nature of like our conversation and our texting and stuff is very, it's of a sexual nature.
Oh yeah. So can you also talk to him about your day to day and things like
totally,
that?
Totally. Yeah. We talk about, we talk about our jobs. We played Yahtzee.
You and Yahtzee.
I fucking love Yahtzee.
How good was I at Yahtzee?
I don't want to talk about it.
Hemda was.
I hate that Hemda is good at everything she tries.
She has good luck for sure.
Good luck, yeah. It has nothing to do with her being naturally coordinated. She's such a shit talker too. It just pisses me off.
You're saying I do need to recognize the way she rolls dice is natural coordination.
Yeah, it's so funny. There's strategy involved. It's not just rolling dice. See, you maybe the reason why you're not good at Yahtzee is because you don't recognize that there's so much skill and strategy involved in the game.
Do you want to tell me? You want me to tell you why I wasn't good at Yahtzee? Because you introduced a new rule every 20 minutes.
That's how you fucking learn the game. You learn as you go. If I were to tell you all the rules off the top,
I'd be bored. There'd be too many.
You wouldn't retain them. You wouldn't remember all the rules. You have to learn by doing. We're all kinesthetic learners, Keith.
So, I do think it's funny, like both Andrea and Emily were getting mad at me, and I'm like, you're getting mad at, I just rolled something I needed, but I just rolled it.
Oh, don't play that little innocent, prissy bitch card. Don't do that. You were rolling, and then when you would roll a good score, you'd be like, oh, I guess I rolled a really good score, huh? I don't know. This is my first time. That's what pisses us off.
I did not do any of that.
Yes, you do. No. Every fucking time.
Oh, great. Get Andrea on here. Good.
You yes. scored Yahtzee. You rolled Yahtzee multiple times, and every time
that's
you were like—
That's not my fault.
No, that's not your fault. Is it your fault that you would tilt back in your chair, throw your head up in excitement, and go, Yahtzee!
I thought you were supposed to do that.
No, you're supposed
to stop it. Stop it, Ann Whitman over there.
I thought I was supposed to do that.
Keith Malley.
I don't even know what I'm doing, but I'm constantly winning and making little comments. Ooh, what's this little comment?
I got so lucky. It's rolling dice. Keith, please.
To me, yeah, of course. You're winning and you yell a little bit of Yahtzee. I don't see what's upsetting these ladies.
Like, you don't think the shit talking is at such a high level?
I was at such a low shit talking level. That you guys are such pusses.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. I basically was like, yay, I won. And they were like, oh, great. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm just excited that I got something.
Okay.
You are experiencing a completely different thing
than
reality.
I don't know what this fake world where you live in.
I feel like I just won and these ladies are being so rude. I can't even. I'm just being a good sport and I'm hemmed up.
How much was Andrea's talking shit? And she was
fucking— Yeah, because I admit it.
She was fucking losing.
I admit it, you fucking weird liar. I admit it. I talk shit.
There's irony to Andrea talking shit because she's not good at games.
Yes. No, she's just being butthurt. She's not even talking shit. She's like, ah, great, Hemda has it.
I admit it. Because
you're the worst.
You and Anne do the same thing.
Oh,
like,
Anne is so... Anne is a different type of...
Oh my God, what?
This is Anne. This is Anne playing cornhole, okay? Yeah. So she tosses the beanbag and she's like, oh, what? There's a lot of giggling going on.
Just like, I'm
She plays very coy.
Yeah.
But she knows what she's
losers.
Doing.
Look how awesome I am.
See? You see? I know that shit's under there. I won't be fooled by any of your fucking basic... Look at her tongue coming out of her mouth like the...
This
demon.
Is the thing. This is the thing. Like, I am a good Yahtzee player, okay?
Why did I win?
But I don't need to because it's a game of chance, you motherfucker!
So it is a game of chance.
I'm sorry if I'm shouting, by the way, but she gets me so fired up about this.
Then why did I win? What kind of fucking weird little comment?
It's just interesting. When Keith says,
is it interesting?
Do you find it interesting?
When Keith says it's a game of chance, you say it's a game of skill. When I say you suck, you say it's a game of chance.
But that still doesn't mean you win every time. It's a combo of chance and skill.
It's not about you winning or losing. It's your shit-eating grin. And then you're like, oh, I'm being good.
You know what it is?
We're not denying that you're good at games.
Yeah.
This is so crazy.
I can't
you guys
believe
are nuts.
You guys.
You guys were getting mad at me
we
for rolling dice.
We have been waterboarded for years with your bullshit.
You're gaslighting me right now. I really don't like it.
I don't even know what you guys are referring to.
You're the dean of Gaslight University.
Yeah.
I do not like this right now.
Keith Malley, how was I during Yahtzee?
I didn't think you were out of line.
And usually he does.
Because you're gaslit.
Yeah.
She's tricked me.
Uh-huh. Yeah. For years.
Under her fucking...
She's entered, you know, this portion of your brain right here. Uh-huh. Cerebellum. I don't know what I'm pointing to. Mm-hmm. But she... It's like a little bit of her voice is now your internal monologue. Like
she's
this
just
is what she does.
Reasonable.
These are people who think I'm the nicest person, except when we bring up games. Like you, they will defend any. I'm just like, I think I was mean. They're like, you're not mean. You're never mean.
Oh, yeah, you're a
great
person.
This is where you're mean. This is where you're mean.
This is where you carry out like all your mean fantasies or something.
Uh huh.
This is how you get off. I, if you were not such a nice person, I would never tolerate this behavior.
Yeah.
I wouldn't ever play games with you.
You guys don't know how to play games.
I'm sorry, what was that? Mean person says what?
Little bitches.
Look at that! Look at that!
I'm like,
listen to it.
There is something very witchy.
It's
about
maniacal.
It.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys want to come play poker?
No, I don't play poker with you ever.
I never want to play poker with you.
You constantly.
I get the emails and I always say no.
Hey, do you want to come over to this place and get fucking gaslighted and have your money taken and have this witch laugh?
But we're all going to have a fun time.
Tiny little claws throwing
come
the dice.
Come over and play and have fun. There'll be food. There'll be food and friends and kicking your ass.
Why'd she write that part?
Yeah.
It's in white. You can't see it unless you highlight it.
Yeah.
Invisible ink.
Uh-huh.
That's how crafty this bitch is. I'm sorry I keep calling you a bitch, by the way. That's not a nice word, but like...
I know, I normally don't use the word bitch, but when it comes to games, you could use the word bitch.
Yes. Yeah.
Because if you act like fucking bitches...
You're acting like a bitch, yeah.
You can't... You say it and then you laugh because you're so excited about how mean you are. This is like your porn. This is Hemda's...
Yeah, it is.
Like being mean porn. Like this is... She's... When she lives out her being mean fantasies that she doesn't get to do in real life. And she stockpiles the repression from not being able to be mean naturally.
Right, and I can't have sex for like a year, so I can't dominate.
Oh, God.
Like
she's
going
to be throwing dice at my head in the studio. Yahtzee!
I'm so curious about the celibacy thing.
Yes.
Do you feel enlightened? Like, what's the celibate? I think that I've been celibate probably as long as you've been celibate.
2 months?
Yeah. Like, not on purpose. I mean, that's not true. Like, on purpose, but not...
Except for this part where the guy had to play a sport.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, I think when anybody is not having sex, it's pretty much on purpose. Because if you really wanted to have sex, you could have sex anytime you want. But what I mean is it's not on purpose. Like, I'm not trying to do it for a year or whatever. I just haven't had sex.
I think it's very funny because people are like, well, why do you need to try? Like, what if you find someone? What if this happens? And I'm like, what I'm expressing is that I am most likely in a very bad state of mind. And normally what I do when I'm in that state of mind, even though I'm like, I'm fine. I have a lot of, you know, recovery. I have good stuff.
Just play Yahtzee but for your friend's feelings.
I have been playing more poker.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Yes.
Got to get your panties soaked one way.
That's true. I got to
let it all out. With our tears.
I got to dominate someone somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, what happens is when I'm in a bad state of mind, I will throw sex into things that I shouldn't. And so I will, if I'm having a good time with you, I'll be like, oh, should I fuck you? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I'll be like, oh.
Oh, yeah, that's a natural reaction.
Yeah, but I think that I need to recalibrate who I'm going to throw sex at. So I want to see if I can, because sometimes like I have sex and I'm like, that's not who I would have sex with.
Sure.
As soon as I get into a clearer state of mind, which is like the next morning or an hour after, or like a moment after, mm-hmm. or even during, I'm like, right, I'm not even attracted to this person. I don't even realize that. I just, when I'm having fun, I'll throw sex right into it. Mm-hmm. So if I'm having a nice conversation, I'm like, am I attracted to this person? And I'm like, I don't need to do that. And so I want to, and plus I'm not sure who I'm attracted to because I feel like my brain has been so kind of like, in a place in general, and also because I'm coming off a marriage, that I'm afraid that I'll throw sex into the wrong thing and just kind of like add extra shit that I have to undo.
Coming off a marriage sounds like some sort of bender that you've been on, you know?
It's like a bender of the mind. Like, sure. You do think one way. So now part of it sucks because I want to wear a wedding ring because I think people are misunderstanding my interactions with them. Like, so I, you know, I'm very friendly and I'm very like excited and excitable. And so I'm like, oh my God, you're so much fun and blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, wait, is that what I do when I flirt? Also, am I doing the wrong thing right now? You know?
Oh, so do you think that you're flirting with
people? I'm not. I know I'm not because I can tell when I'm being fucked up. And I have like paused before that because I'm on a celibacy thing. So I won't even let it go that way. But it could be people around me are like, right, you're not into that guy. I'm like, I really genuinely don't know. I could be like on some sort of, I just get excited. If it was a woman, nobody might be thinking that. Even maybe I wouldn't, or maybe I would. I don't know. All these things are very weird. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It does. I mean, I'm not sure if this is what you're talking about, but I do find that I will flirt with people without knowing that I'm flirting. And I think that flirting is like kind of open to interpretation by like...
Yes, but the intention, like...
Right. Yeah. So I guess I'm not flirting, but other people will think I am and kind of like get the wrong idea. Like I'll quote flirt to a certain point that the other person wouldn't want to go the other 40%. But if I went another 20%, they would come the other 20%. Does that make sense?
You're both very bubbly also in person, which I think a lot of people mistake. Like, you're excitable to see people, and a lot of people mistake that for a sexual advance, you know, women specifically, yeah.
Yeah, nobody has yet. And so now
that's
I'm like...
That's good.
Yeah, so now...
Is it because you start conversations with, hey, I'm Hemda and I'm celibate?
Hey, I'm trying not to fuck. Yeah. Anyway, how's your day?
Mm-hmm. How are you doing? I'm not fucking right now. Good, how are you?
That's like when I before I drank anything, or like when I was in a bar and I wasn't drinking, that's when people wanted to buy me the most drinks.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, they want to turn you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe that's your tactic. Maybe this is a game to you.
Yes. I'm going to win.
Another game of Yahtzee. But I'm going to win fucking
all the genitals. Actually, I thought of breaking my celibacy at a sex club. I thought, like, wouldn't that be the best way to go?
You're not going to. I'm take it back. I thought you were going to last.
At the end of the year.
You're not going
to
last.
After the year, when I'm open to having sex, I'm thinking sex club.
Yeah. I
that's
give it
such a binge eater mentality.
I give it like 2 weeks.
I'm not going to eat for 3 months, and then I'm going to eat a fucking Entenmann's factory.
Yeah.
Well, to me, it's like clarified. To me, a sex club is very clear, so it's not like an Entenmann's factory. It's more like I'm going there for very specific things. I'm going to get what I want and need, and then I'm going to leave, rather than like I'm going to search through stupid fucking apps. People are going to swipe my face, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, don't do that.
I'm going to have to fucking write a bio, kill me, you know, or I can go wear the bracelet of the acts I want to do or whatever happens.
Isn't
you know,
that a thing?
Depending on where you go, but I could be very clear about what I want, go get it like it's a store. And goodbye. Well, now,
that sounds healthy.
Now, if this is not healthy, I have 10 months to figure that out.
Right.
I'm not going to fuck, and then I'm going to go to the fuck store and get 20 milligrams of fuck, and then I'll be good. That's called sexual anorexia, Hemda.
If there was a fuck store.
Andrea is like learning all kinds of new terminology from her sex and love addiction meetings.
Thank you for laughing as you say that. I appreciate it.
But if
thank
I can,
you for taking me seriously.
If I can afford
friend.
It. If I can afford it, and if there were good ones, I could see myself just being like with a hooker for the rest of my life.
That's this is all great.
Yeah, I think I'm, first of all, Kendra's going to be shocked.
I can't believe I'm the happiest, healthiest person in this room right now.
You really are.
Do you know how crazy that is?
I've thought about being a hooker too.
Of course I thought about it. That's fun to think about.
Yeah,
but
I like, well, okay. I actually almost did webcamming when I was super broke. Mm. This was like not even that long ago. It was probably like 6 or 7 months ago. Mm-hmm. I found an ad on Craigslist, on the Craigslist personals, RIP. They just closed them. And this guy was looking for a partner to do webcamming stuff with. Mm-hmm. And I reached out to him and I was like, what exactly does this entail? And he's like, well, we would be basically fucking on screen. Exactly what I thought it was.
Yeah.
And he was like, if you're not comfortable, we could wear masks. And I was like,
that's
okay,
a good idea.
Maybe I'm on board.
Right.
And then I sent a photo of myself. He was like, you need to send a photo of yourself. So I sent a naked boomerang because I thought it was safer, like that maybe it wouldn't end up, like he wouldn't be able to like screenshot it.
LOL. A boomerang or a Snapchat?
Boomerang.
A boomerang.
You're moving.
Well, because it was moving. So like I actually did a test run and tried to screen grab it and I couldn't.
Yeah, really? It is hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to be like, you have to have really nimble fingers to do it.
The boomerang is when things keep repeating. So it's like, your clit going boyoing, 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 boyoing.
Yeah. I mean, in this case, it wasn't just my clit, but it was a full body. It was a full body. Uh-huh. But yeah, he responded and then I like chickened out very quickly and
how much
go through with it.
How much would you get? Do you know the logistics?
I don't remember exact rates, but it was a lot. It was so there are public chats and private chats. So in the public chats, I think you get, it's a pretty low rate. And then, but for the private chats, you get people who are interested in watching you and the partner one-on-one for maybe an hour or something. And you get like hundreds of dollars an hour.
Is there any way, Andrea, she would have done this? Or is this like, I could have been in 9/11?
When I told you about it, how serious did I seem?
You seemed more serious than I was comfortable with. And I was like, how am I going to seem non-judgmental? My voice got really like, oh, yeah, that's it. You know what? There's nothing wrong. Sex work. And just sending an email to your mom right now. You seemed more serious than I had seen you before about this kind of stuff. Like, we've entertained the notion of selling our panties.
Right.
But I don't know. I didn't think. I was like, I'm just going to keep an eye on this one.
Yeah.
I thought you'd realize that eventually.
What did it for me is if I wasn't in entertainment, then I might be more likely to do it. But I don't know if I really want my image being out there. because even if we did wear masks, you know that like a couple weeks in, I'd be like, fuck the mask. I'm going to make more money if my face is in it. And I just like, I tend to go from 0 to 100 very, very quickly with these things.
Is that cam anorexia?
It's camorexia. Yeah, it's important. I wish more people knew about camorexia.
I'm sorry, I'm just woke and healthy. And
what do we think? By the way, which leads me to this: what do we think, Emily, about Andrea going to sex and love meetings?
I'm joking about it, but I think it's good for her. I think she's learning a lot and being more careful about certain interactions that she's having with men, and being more conscious of like what gives her certain impulses. I think it's all good. I think she definitely needs a separate calendar for all the 12-step meetings that she's going to, but that's not.
Is she getting addicted to 12-step meetings?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe you need to go to 12-step meetings anonymous.
Sure, perhaps.
12A. No, I think it's good. I actually went to a meeting with her a few weeks ago.
Laugh.
Yeah, I was laughing in all their faces.
What does she wear at a sex and love meeting? Because she doesn't mind.
A bikini.
Yeah?
Yeah. She was wearing a two-piece. I told her. She was like, no, they don't have to touch me here. So, I was wondering that when I was here. I was like, how many people are checking out the other people? Because it was very respectful and also very sad. Like, people were telling their personal stories, and it was extremely sad because, like, all these people just want to connect with other human beings, and they can't have healthy relationships. So there's really like nothing sadder than that. But I was wondering, like, A, do they hook up? And B, if they don't hook up, do they at least like how many people are being objectified in this room as we speak?
The blonde guy sitting across from us.
He was hot. Yeah, he was hot. Yeah, I was doing some objectifying, but I don't have this problem, so I'm allowed.
But also, I think AA works like that. I think Al-Anon works like that. There are people who talk about it later. Like, there's people, you're not supposed to like have sex with the newbie. You're not supposed to take numbers from people of the opposite sex. And even like, if you're on a gay spectrum, you mind your fucking P's and Q's, you know, you're just, because all the rooms are people with impulse control. Mm-hmm. That's all it is.
And those are the fun people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, your story's fun. Like, when I hear a fucked up story, I'm like, well, I just want to fuck you. Like, that's just, you know, like, oh, you had a hard time, but you're articulating it perfectly. And like, you understand where you came from and where you are now. Yeah, let's do it.
Drip.
I guess in every meeting like that, you have to, to be in the true spirit of the group, you have to take it seriously and be respectful. But there are probably always going to be those people that just float in because they're curious about it and they're not following all of the rules, or they're not.
I mean, there are people
pure of heart. Because I was in a support group for about a year for my eating disorder. And I definitely, like, I was in fake recovery at that point. So I wanted to get better, but I wasn't really taking it seriously. So when people would tell me, like, certain things they were doing, I was, like, definitely taking notes.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably a similar thing.
Mm-hmm. How do we tell you that things are going okay? Like, do you have to be fatter? Like, now I can't say, you know, like, are you okay now? Because you look all right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yes, is the short answer to that question. I'm eating. I'm following. I'm gaining lots of weight. I'm trying to, like, learn to be okay with that. And I'm following a program that's called intuitive eating. And basically, it's like you eat whatever you want, whenever you want. So that's, like, very hard for me because all my life I've had, like, different kinds of food rules that I have basically invented for myself, but it's basically a way of unlearning that. And you have to just jump in the deep end and just learn to, like, listen to your body, which is very scary. But the problem is the eating disorder voice is still there and it's always going to be there. So I could be doing all the right things, but that voice is still there telling me I'm a piece of shit every day. So not listening to the voice in a way makes it harder to go about your day because you're still hearing you're a piece of shit, you're unlovable, whatever it is, but you can't do what the voice is telling you.
That's kind of similar to what you hear in AA, where it's like you stop drinking, But then now it's worse because, yes, you're not, you know, driving drunk. You're not, you know, coming home and your kids are seeing you drunk. But all the demons are still in your head because now you can't drink to make it go away.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you can't do the thing that makes your thing actually go
away.
That
silences it for a second. Like, I'm learning to not listen to that voice, but it really is like, it's a completely different voice from my internal monologue. Like, it's not me. It's just, it's somebody telling me, like, if you were to give me a compliment, like, give me a compliment about the way I look now.
You look pretty today. I like what you've done with your hair.
Okay. So if my eating disorder voice was answering that question, then it would say, no, I don't. You're lying. You feel bad for me. You're only saying that because you already know me and you like me as a person. But if you saw me on the street, you'd be grossed out because I'm gross. I'm terrible. Like, that's what the eating disorder voice says. But that's not truly what I think. It's just like, when you hear that voice over and over and over again, you start to really believe it. And the only way to get it to shut the fuck up is to do these like arbitrary things to seek control.
When you have a chef show, they call it food porn. Does that do anything to you?
Well,
they're drizzling the olive oil just so into the pan. Is that a thing?
That's a thing for me. I'm just like, oh.
So you mean good. Like those tasty videos that they post on Facebook and stuff? Okay.
Those are so good.
Yeah. I mean, I love food. Food has like a very special place in my heart. Food was like a thing that I turned to when I was younger to seek comfort when I was feeling unsafe and stuff like that. So it is a little pornographic for me. It is. Like, I follow a lot of bagel Instagram accounts. Black Seed Bagels on the Lower East Side has a great Instagram account. And like, it does something for me. Like, it is a little sexual. And that's something that I learned like in behavioral therapy, that it is, there's a connection there for sure. But ever since I've been doing the intuitive eating and stuff, I don't obsess about food to the same degree as I did, because before, the idea that I couldn't have something that I wanted made it that much more desirable. So I would fantasize about food. And then the second I would be able to eat it, I would eat so much of it that I would be physically sick. So I'm still like learning and trying to be better at it, but it's not as extreme.
When I was dating, I would go up to a woman and go, "You can't fuck me." And then it's like, give me more.
That's
actually how you get people like me.
That actually would work.
Like, I mean, there's a whole book on negging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a guy when I was maybe like 6 years ago. I was in my early 20s or late teens. And he said to me, like, "I'm worried that you're going to fall in love with me." Oh, and this was before, like, I didn't have any feelings towards him.
Right.
And ever since he said that, I was like, why? What's your deal? Like, right. Now I am in love with you. And then it got me thinking, like, maybe I should do that. That's like a really great manipulative game.
Interesting.
But I never have, because I do have a heart.
Was the eating disorder, is that hereditary? Do I remember your mom hid cakes in her room?
I think it's more, I think there are lots of theories on it, and some people think that it is genetic, but I think that it's probably more learned. I think it's more probably a nurture thing. And yeah, like, both my parents actually have fucked up behaviors around food.
They're both hiding cakes under the bed. And it's well, like, mom, shit, you beat me to it.
Well, my mom is a binge eater and always has been. And I think probably like it was her, she would try to diet. And then a similar thing, like when she would allow herself to have food, she would have a lot of food. And yeah, she would hide them under the bed. It was like an ongoing joke between everybody that like we would walk into the room, we'd like walk in super fast and be like, gotcha. You know? But yeah, that was definitely learned, and like she never, I don't know if this was good or bad, but she never really like monitored me. She allowed me to eat ice cream every day, but I had like a fucked up relationship with food for the longest time. So I would just like, I would eat so much past the point of being full. And then my dad is kind of manorexic and still like is, he doesn't eat very much. And he will make comments about food.
That's nice you didn't emasculate him.
Right.
Manorexic.
Important distinction.
When you go to meetings for an eating disorder. And then your friend over here, Andrea, goes to 17 different meetings, Sex and Love, Alcoholics Anonymous, maybe Al-Anon. Are you like, how can you have every problem? Don't act like you're so fucking enlightened. Do you get a little angry?
No.
Okay.
Isn't it
Are you talking about yourself right now or Emily?
I don't know where I heard this. It was somebody, a listener, maybe I saw in the forums, but they were upset with Andrea.
Oh, really?
That it's
Oh, like, I don't read any of your comments, guys.
It's so. Like, how do you have every fucking problem?
To say anything.
Oh, really?
Well, isn't it pretty common for somebody with one form of an addiction to have another?
Sure. Well, so
again, it's all impulse control. You can go into any room and just apply it.
Sure. To address this cuck on the forums about their commentary.
The one you're not paying attention to?
Sure. I mean, now you have my attention, but it'll be gone afterwards and you'll still be you and I'll still be me. It's like I was talking to my therapist about it and I've been going to Sex and Love Addicts.
And a therapist.
Sure, and a therapist. I know. I'm just so high maintenance. What a gal's gal. I was talking to my therapist about this because I'm trying on different rooms because I am an alcoholic. And so when I stopped drinking, that solved a lot of my immediate problems. But within the last few years, more problems are coming up. And my therapist called it like whack-a-mole. You know, the game whack-a-mole where you hit one and then another
game.
One pops up in a different spot.
Oh, Chemda's great at it.
Yeah, Chemda's probably.
I was just going to say that I'm so
really
fucking
humble.
Good at it.
Yeah.
I suck at it.
Oh, yeah,
but,
sure.
But let's
I'm not
play.
Playing with you. I'm let's not playing play. With you because you're going to quote unquote suck at it. And then I'm going to be on my knees and you're going to be cackling.
You know what you suck at?
What?
Being sucky.
Sure.
That's what you fucking suck
at. I'm the best.
As soon as she doesn't get one fucking hand,
sure.
I'm a bitch.
Sure.
That's just, you are the worst.
That's what's happening here.
All right, let's focus. This was my fault. So your therapist is saying one problem comes up, you solve that, but more are arising.
Sure. Well, like Chemda said, it's a lot of it is centered around impulse control. And I've stopped going to Sex and Love Addicts meetings for the time being to go to, and this person's going to enjoy this, I'm going to Adult Children of Alcoholics because I told my therapist that I was going to Sex and Love meetings and she's like, I can certainly see that you would be acting out with that. That makes sense. But the real source of all of these problems are that you had a dysfunctional childhood. So that's what you need to deal with. Above all of it, these addictions are symptoms of a larger problem. So it might seem to this person that I'm just quote unquote making up problems, but really what's happening is that I have ways that I control things and ways that I make myself feel better. And that will be with my obsessive compulsive disorder, with my alcoholism, with my sex addiction. It's all rooted.
Wow. Yeah. Now that you're listing it, I'm kind of on this guy's side.
Sure. I'm a fun person to be around. Very clean. Love to fuck. Love to party.
I don't see how 17 meetings a week could be fun. So that's why I believe it.
Well, yeah. Well, so I've been going to ACA and neither of my parents are alcoholics, but it's actually just shorthand for people who come from dysfunctional family backgrounds. And I've been dealing a lot with my problems with my father. There was a lot of medical trauma in my childhood. Like there's a lot of stuff that I view as normal because I grew up in it. And now I'm starting to understand like, oh, it was abnormal. You have coping mechanisms to react against this because you were a child and you had no other way.
It worked for you as a child.
Of course.
It was like smart as a child to protect yourself in very specific ways. Now it's not going to work for you anymore. So you have to find new ways.
Sure. It's like, oh, Andrea, you're a hypochondriac. Yeah, of course. I almost lost both my parents to life-ending illnesses all within being under the age of 20. Of course, I spent 4 or 5 years in hospitals constantly. Why would my mind not think, oh, the worst thing's going to happen? I lived in a childhood where the worst thing did happen. So now it takes a lot of energy and work. It's exhausting to try to let go of these things. They are what keep me balanced and keep me feeling sane. So it may seem crazy to you people, but like you don't understand where I come from. So there's no compassion, but that's just how people are.
And in general, you're feeling let down by people?
No, I mean,
what's affecting you so much right now? With one jerk off, I'm thinking of.
It's just like, it's a mockery of people trying to help themselves, you know?
You know what it is? I think that people try to turn like, there's such a they're such a caricature of people that are like self-care people. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very easy to mock those people because people don't want to look inside themselves and think about how they could be improving themselves. So it's easier to tell yourself that anybody who does try to address a problem and talk about it so openly is self-indulgent or dramatic or making a big deal of something, but she's trying to get her shit right. There's something wrong with that.
Well, it's also like, I hear that voice all the time. You don't know how hard I am on myself. So for you to echo it back, it's just like...
Yeah, this, I think it feels like it might, because it's in your head, you already think that because you don't even know who this person is.
Sure.
He said it, Keith is saying it like how Keith is saying it, but this guy probably said it off the cuff, like, what, does she have all the problems?
Sure.
But all of a sudden that echoes and it's like, you actually feel that way.
Of course.
Yeah.
I don't have great self-worth, you know what I mean? And that a lot of people don't, but it's very hard to admit that. So
does it feel better to hear? Yes, you do have problems.
No, I mean, it doesn't. None of it feels good. Right. I don't want to be here, but I am here. So I can pretend I'm not here or I can admit it.
It's a voice that means nothing. But like you said, it's echoing back to you something that you already think. So,
yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's going to, this person's opinion means nothing. It's not the thing that he said, it's the fact that the thing that he said triggered something that is already a sensitive thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of like my grandma. I went to visit my grandma and she told me that it's kind of fucked up, but she told me she was going to leave me a certain ring of hers in her will because it's the biggest and I'm the biggest in our family.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She did not mean it in a mean way.
Yeah.
But I took it to mean like, you're the fattest in our family. Everybody else looks like models and you look like a fucking big fat slob. You know what I mean? Like, you start hearing things that this is just like somebody being a troll on the internet, but it turns into like somebody mocking the way that you're trying to live your life, and that's not a good feeling.
Well, it's like you get called, women specifically get called hysterical all the time for just showing emotion at all. So it's like whenever someone calls me overly emotional, I'm like, I already think that about myself. You're already reiterating these horrible feelings I have about myself. And it's just like, I don't know. I went to this ACA meeting and it was refreshing to see people admit that they had bad childhoods. A lot of people don't. A lot of people go like, well, I had a roof over my head. And like, it makes me feel even more guilty because I had, like, financially, I was in such a good position. I have so much privilege. So is it humbling and shitty to go in there and be like, someone was mean to me. I feel like a fucking prick. But like, unless I admit that bad things happened, I can't have a healthy relationship with another human being. Like, that's a problem that I should be trying to work on. I don't know why people don't address this shit more, but they don't, because everyone's afraid to be called a pussy. But this pussy's strong, so fuck off.
Pussies can give birth.
Yeah, this pussy's doing her Kegels.
Yeah.
Try to grab this one. Yeah. Right?
It's crazy. Doing so much self-examination makes you feel tired and crazy all the time.
How do we believe that you do have problems? I'm not seeing one tattoo.
There's a piercing that you don't see.
All right. All right. I'm reading a story about this guy who, he's an albino, but he tattooed his entire skin black, and this will be on our forums. It looks like he looks like you're looking at a negative.
Yeah, because his hair is all white.
Right. Yeah.
Is he a black person?
He's a black person. He has albinism, yes.
Wow, they did like, such a good job.
Like Victor Varnado?
Yes.
Yeah.
After getting almost 90% of his body covered.
Adam, the 10% is his dick.
Right. Well, it's funny you say that. Adam felt that his penis ruined his look, so he paid to undergo extreme surgery.
Oh, wow.
He has now shared pictures with his fans on social media after having his penis, nipples, and testicles removed. The guy's an artist.
What?
Oh, wow.
He became famous in 2017 after taking part in the TV show Second Face in Poland, where he said he wanted the tattoos to cover the blemishes that were left behind by the cancer. He eventually beat the cancer, but while in recovery, He had been left with a weakened immune system and was depressed by this and the fact that his skin looked sickly and pale. When the doctors diagnosed him with albinism, he had started adding tattoos and discovered a passion for the art once he saw the results.
Fascinating.
God, what a rough go he's had. Fuck.
He said, I always knew that I was different from the rest of society. My favorite color, for example, has always been gray in different tones, and that's why my current skin color is graphite. Local media reported that he had to travel to Guardines Hospital in Guadalajara in Mexico to have the operation to remove his nipples and private parts. With regards to the small section of skin still without tattoos, he said he is still planning. I design my tattoos because it's my body. I have a specific vision for myself and I do it step by step. Life is so short and I stopped wondering what will happen tomorrow. Life is here and now. So I don't know if there's literally a hole where a penis used to be.
Doesn't sound like it.
It's probably scar tissue.
Well, yeah. You have to evacuate, right?
Well, that you don't need genitalia for that, right? You just need one, like to the tiniest hole, I guess. Yeah, you're right. You do need a hole.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, I see.
I so believe this guy. It's odd for me to think that he sounds healthy, you know, because it feels like cover up, you know, like why aren't you okay with your skin color? But
I think it's more like he turned himself into an art piece.
Yeah.
I'm with this.
Yeah.
I like it.
He's beautiful.
He's got the eyelashes white and he's got like these dots on his skin, like accent. Yeah.
Yeah.
That must have been so painful.
The whole body.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wonder though, because if you like some people are totally fine with tattoos and sometimes the people who either want it so bad or are so pained on the inside that the outside pain doesn't even compare. It's just fine.
Fuck yeah, baby.
Right? I mean, like to get 90%, you're talking about armpits.
Yeah.
You're talking about feet. You're talking about all
rib
the
delicate. Cage, all the way down the rib cage, the spine.
Right. Yeah.
Yahtzee.
And you're there at home listening, not bettering your life when you can. This guy knew he's better without a penis and covered in all black.
I think a lot of men would be better without a penis.
Yeah, good point. He's probably getting a decent amount of internet hate.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, sure. After that show he was on, he was physically abused. He was beaten up on the street.
Shit.
Really?
Yeah. What a bunch of weirdos.
Yeah, fuck y'all.
You get so revved up over the person's appearance on TV about his appearance that you beat him up. Like, you're not thinking one moment about your life.
Ethiopian 710 says, "Wear the skin I giveth you."
Right, sure.
So now I got to beat you.
I wonder if those people who beat him have any tattoos or any, like, you know, did they ever dye their hair? Did they ever change their appearance in any way? It's so funny how people are like, God gave you that. And it's like, you have a nose job. Or God gave you that. You're wearing contact lenses.
Right.
God gave us poor vision, gave us diarrhea. I mean, God gave us a lot of shit.
Some more than others. Some more than others.
Yeah.
Are either of you ladies planning to have children in your lifetime?
Okay. So something really weird happened in like the past 2 weeks where I was always kind of indifferent to the idea. And then a switch turned off and I was like, oh, wait. I do want to have a kid.
You got, baby.
Yeah, I got mm-hmm. hard.
What?
Yeah, I do want to have a kid.
Like biological clock feeling or just...
Maybe. Well, okay, I've always said that I want to be pregnant. I want to have that experience because I think it'd be so fucking cool to grow this little alien inside of you.
Well, everything's about weight with you.
Mm-hmm. But I think that the idea of having... like that didn't really appeal to me. I was like, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, then I'll just kidnap a kid.
Sure.
If what happens, it happens. What kind of fucking family planning is that?
Sure.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah. I'm just raw dogging everyone.
Sure.
If it happens, it happens. No, not like that. Just like, I don't know. I've never been, I've never said like, I definitely want to get married or I definitely want to have kids or I definitely want to stay in New York forever, move to this. Like I've always kind of just gone wherever the wind takes me. Right. I'm an earth child. But I did have like a very concrete thought. Like I would like to have children. Like that is something that I would, or at least one, like that is something that I would like to do in my life. Would not want to be a single parent though. So,
get your shit together, guys, right?
Yeah. Get your shit together.
Would you have a child with a friend who wants to have a child as bad and co-parent.
But baseball practice sneaks up on him. And you never know when it's coming.
And we can never do it.
And you have AIDS.
And I have AIDS.
I don't know. It always ends in AIDS.
Yeah. No. Well, yes. If I felt that it was actually...
With the AIDS or not with the AIDS?
Not with the AIDS. Okay. Not with the AIDS. But yes, with the... If it was like an actual healthy, equal co-parenting relationship, then yeah, I actually think that works out pretty well. And when I see people who have joint custody, when it actually works out really well and both people have their heads on straight, I think it can be really great because each parent has their own.
It feels like they have their alone time.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I see parents, they're like, oh, we have our kid every other weekend. And I'm like, you know, you admit that that's a score.
Totally.
Because on some weekends, your children are safe, but you get to have adult things happening the entire weekend.
Do couples that split up, if one of them doesn't want the kids and the other one wants the kids, does the other one have to act like they really want the kids so that the first person definitely fights for kids all the time?
Like you with the dogs?
Mm-hmm. I think some people leave their families. Yeah, yeah. That definitely happens. Sure.
They definitely don't make effort. It's like anti-effort.
There are some people that don't make efforts.
Yeah. A lot of like... Father's Day cards is not sold as well as Mother's Day cards, for example.
Oh, I would love to know the statistics on that.
I mean, just look at the store on the day of.
Yeah, fuller.
Look at life on the day of. You ever like, you know, I don't really send anything for Mother's Day, but if Mother's Day were to sneak up on me, like you're walking around that day and you're like, why does everyone have flowers? Why does everyone like, why are the brunches even more sold out? Like, mm-hmm. What the fuck is going on? You realize it's Mother's Day. On Father's Day, the entire day can pass and no one knows it's Father's Day.
Right.
Yeah. It's like on the street, like just walking around. There's no Father's Day in the air.
Yeah, that's true.
Get your shit together.
On my dad's birthday 2 years ago, me and my brother both forgot.
His birthday?
Yeah. It was, yeah.
That's rough.
It was, we fucked up, but also.
But you know what?
Did we?
Less pressure on you because you both forgot.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
My father-in-law's birthday is the day we get inducted into the Podcasting Hall of Fame.
So you'll be busy. You won't have to worry about that. Emily, so 2 weeks ago, you get the biological clock urge. Be honest. Have you come up with names?
Oh no.
Okay. All right.
Do you have names, Keith? Because you've thought of having kids.
Henrik.
Henrik.
Let me mention this, okay? Let me do a little help for those listeners. Perhaps you don't know this, gentlemen. 66% of men lose their hair by the age of 35. Can you imagine?
What percentage?
66% of men.
That sounds about
I
right.
I believe it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? When you start to notice hair loss, it's too late. Okay. It's easier to keep the hair you have than to replace the hair that you've lost. For example, is that hairline, it's slowly starting to move backwards, right? You got any bald spots? Well, how are you going to feel a year from now? Huh? Well, I got a one-stop shop for hair loss. For skincare, for sexual wellness. I think you know what that means. I don't got to spell it out. For men. Not enough things for men out there. But here's one. ForHims.com. Okay? Not snake oil pills. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about how they connect you with real doctors and medical grade solutions to treat hair loss.
But you don't have to go anywhere.
Oh, can I please experience a waiting room? Sorry. Not today. Not with these guys.
I was just thinking about how much I had to go to the doctor and I always had questions because suddenly I feel like every day it feels like somebody just kicks me in the side all of a sudden because I think of my, you know, frozen diaphragm or whatever the hell is going on in there. And I'm always like, next time I go to the doctor, I'm going to ask them about that. But by the time I wait in the waiting room for so long, I just take the news that they give me and I'm like, I'm out of here. This is so annoying. And so it's like the doctor's visit doesn't make sense to me.
Right now, listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today. Right now while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. Go to forhims.com/KATG. That's forhims.com/KATG. forhims.com/KATG. And I'll say it one more time. Yeah, they have hair loss help. They'll help you with skincare. But don't forget about that third one, sexual wellness. Come on, guys. You know what I'm talking about.
Ew. The face he's making right now is so gross.
Sexual I wellness. Can't.
I'll but buy yes, I pill. Know what you mean. And yes, I'm for it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I've encountered some non-sexual wellness.
I've encountered some, yeah, people who are not sexually so well.
Yeah.
And it's no fun, right?
Yeah. No, I vastly prefer people who are sexually well.
It ruins the day.
Yeah.
It really does.
It just puts like a bad mood over the room. Yeah. And you know?
Then what's he doing? He's like, normally I swear I'm sexually
yeah,
well.
Yeah, sure you do. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like when you go to a comedy show and it's empty and they're like, normally it's packed.
Right.
Sure.
This never happens. I'm always sexually well. Let me try to shove this custard balloon into your vagina.
And you're sitting there going, yes, everyone's not sexually well every once in a while. Uh-huh. I'm totally cool with this. Mm-hmm.
Maybe like you're so hot, I'm overwhelmed and I'm sexually sick. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want that. All right.
How do I get less hot so you can make this happen? If I pick my nose in front of you, you get less hard.
So that he's more
right,
well.
Right, right. I decrease my wellness. I have to take one for the team.
Yeah.
All right. Emily Lubin, you can follow on Twitter, Lubination.
That's right.
Okay. And Andrea does a show with Emily, as a matter of fact. You know it. It's the Hot Mess Comedy Hour. So You subscribe for free, download that, hear the business. They're not shy.
Not at all.
I kind of wish you were more.
I do too, Mom? Keith.
My goodness. But it's always nice talking to you both.
And Emily was saying that she's up with the show, so you're current. Not only that, she's been watching the YouTube clips,
mm-hmm.
which
yes.
is very funny because her response that we are about to do it, you're going to guess the movies on silent trailers.
I'm so excited.
And what was your question before?
So I asked if you were not allowed to say the actors' names.
And we
because I noticed that Hemda never says the actors' names. And the answer I got was, no, Hemda just doesn't know any
actors. You know that guy? The guy that everyone likes? He's the guy.
There are two
Hollywood.
Guys. There are two guys. Yeah. They're standing in a gas station. And they're doing the thing.
Woman.
They're doing the thing, and there's a woman
from Pitch Perfect Pitch thing doing thing.
She kept telling me George Clooney's in 9 and a Half Weeks. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get anywhere.
I was way off about who's in 9 and a Half Weeks. That was Mickey Rourke.
Yes.
Did you guys say something already, or
no? Emily had to ask. Do you like contractually? Do you have to use the word thing for every other word?
Do you have to say the guy doing a thing? Is that, do you have to preface everything with that? Is that the,
you know, sometimes
it's legalese for Hemda doesn't know movies.
I don't know what happens. Sometimes I know people's names and I'm like,
do you?
I'm forgetting right now. Like I should know Paul Rudd.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. That was the one that really, I was like, Paul Rudd, really?
Yeah. No, I forgot. I'm forgetting his name now. He's in...
But you normally could, you know the names, though.
Yeah, normally she does.
And Summertime Song.
Summertime Song.
What's
okay.
the Summertime Song?
Right.
Chilling out, maxing, relaxing.
Oh, Will Smith?
Well, thank you.
All right. So now
Emily's going to do well.
Now, all that's just...
If it was music, I would crush it.
All that was to explain one person. Okay? We're supposed to guess a whole movie. So go to YouTube.
You know what's interesting? When I do that, I'm like... Oh, you know the guy in the movie, and then the guest, see, Keith is already used to it, but the guest will be like,
The fuck?
They think that they just got the movie because I described what other movie the character was in, and
right.
they get so mad. They're like, no, I just got your movie. I'm like, I know, that's just a side note. I'm
sorry.
Oh,
I see. It's for context to help them guess the real movie. Yeah, I could see that being frustrating.
Yeah. Sort of frustrating, like when you play games and you fucking pretend you're not being a smug prick, but you really are, but you go, oh, I know.
Do you think even though she's the one reading the trailers, she's sabotaging us so we
don't beat her? Yeah. I think it angers her when other people win.
Yeah, meanwhile, no one can win.
What are you talking about?
I mean, she can't win.
I win every time on these trailers.
Uh-huh.
See?
All the time.
They didn't get one right today. All right, so go to YouTube, look up Keith and the Girls, subscribe, hit that bell. You'll know every time a new one of these comes out, including this one with Emily Lubin. We'll talk to you soon.
KeithandTheGirl.com